Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. The words anti-Semitism and anti-Semite are the way Jews call white people niggers. These attack words are meant to shame those who have noticed and spoken out about the parasitic or other bad behaviors of Jews. Jews hope to trigger an irrational inferiority or guilt complex in those so attacked, since even those whites who criticize Jews are mostly under the spell of the Jew-invented morality, which misleads us into believing that it is wrong to have racial loyalty, wrong to criticize other racial groups, and especially wrong to criticize Jews. Jews also use these attack words to create a climate of fear in all whites. Fear that if they associate themselves with the beliefs and ideas or the people that the Jews call anti-Semitic, their lives will be destroyed. Their jobs will be lost. Their economic security shattered. Fear that they will become social pariahs. The Jews also use their media power through news stories and dramas to falsely associate criticism of Jews or indeed racial solidarity of any kind among whites with being brutish, irrational, stupid, lowbrow, and thuggish, thus triggering another kind of social fear of being so categorized and having one's life ruined in yet another way. Even as the attack words serve to inculcate fear and shame in the host population and thereby weaken the host's sense of ethnic solidarity, they serve as a means to strengthen the sense of ethnic solidarity among Jews. The attack words send signals to the Jewish population that, one, these Americans or Frenchmen or Canadians or Britons or whatever the host people may be are different from us, and we must always be aware that they are different from us. Two, some of these host people themselves recognize that they are different from us, and that recognition on their part is dangerous to us because it allows our group activities to be noticed, criticized, and possibly countered. And three, we are at war with these Jew-aware members of the host population and must use all our power to ruin and destroy them. Alchemists tried in vain for centuries to make lead into gold. Jews were more successful. They figured out how to make nothing into money through fractional reserve banking. But even more importantly, they also figured out how to make lies into truth. They do it by using what one observer calls the web of lies development technique. Jews have invested gargantuan sums of money, time, and effort into building their web of lies. It works like this. A credentialed Jewish academic will make an unsupported assertion, say about anti-Semitism or anti-Semites or about race, and then other credentialed Jewish academics will cite that claim favorably, perhaps expand on it a bit, stretch a few facts to make them seem to support the claim. Perhaps even criticize the claim somewhat while conceding some crucial points. And then others of the same tribe will cite each other over and over and over, across universities, journals, books, disciplines, and even generations. And pretty soon, the Jewish claim is presented as a fact that all reasonable people now accept. They do this in order to create an orthodoxy and perceived narrative where none existed before, which orthodoxy they then use to manufacture a false consensus, which crowds out the old consensus that the Jews found unacceptable. They do the same thing when they corrupt law enforcement and the legal system. On a lower level, they do the same thing on the internet when they purposely swarm more or less uncensored internet forums and user-edited media like Wikipedia, make false and very damaging claims about racially aware and Jew-wise whites, sometimes falsely claiming to be Jew-wise and racially aware themselves, and then backing each other up, quoting each other, and attempting to overwhelm any discussion they want to control. This is all classic parasitic behavior. Ultimately, it's all biological. All parasites are slave makers. Jews have enslaved whites and want to weaken us to make us better slaves. Jews do what they do because they are biological parasites. We will be better able to understand them when we see everything they do from a biological perspective. There is even a parasitic ant species called the slave maker ant. It kidnaps the larvae of another ant species and raises them in its own nest, so they will work their entire lives for the parasites. The slave makers send all the right biological signals, so the victims don't even know they've been parasitized. For as long as they live, the parasitized ants believe they are among their own kind. This will remind you of the childhood stories you may have heard about gypsies stealing white babies, and the persistent stories, which I cannot confirm, of German children in the chaotic years after World War II being abducted by Zionists and raised as Jews in Israel. But that kind of slave making is not typically Jewish. The Jews are more similar to the social parasites that kill and then replace the ruling caste of social species, and then rule over the parasitized host society in the murdered ruler's stead. We'll be discussing those parallels next week. The Jews also resemble the most deadly virus known to man. I first made the following analogy last year as an addendum to an article on the Leo Frank case, but it deserves a wider audience in the context of Jewish parasitism, so I will revise and update it for you today. One of the most horrifying parasitic organisms is the AIDS virus. It is more dangerous than other viruses because it directly attacks our body's own defenses, our immune system. Organized Jewish groups are the HIV of European civilization. Our civilization is like a body of which we are the component cells. Each of us, like the cells in a human body, has a function to perform in order that the body may continue to live and reproduce. The cells in our body all carry exactly the same gene pattern, and recognizing that pattern is the method by which our immune system determines which cells are a part of us and so are not attacked, and which cells are invaders with alien gene patterns, and those cells are attacked by the immune system. Without this genetic us or them identification and the attack response from our immune system, we could not live. We would all be dead within hours. So also do the men and women who make up our civilization have similar gene patterns by which they may be recognized as part of our race, the white race. Invaders have different gene patterns, and we can generally tell this in an instant by simply seeing their facial features. Our civilization's immune system has many facets to defend us against invaders. The inborn racial feelings which make us mate and marry only among our own kind. The inborn social behaviors which cause us to favor our own kind and to disfavor invaders or those who intermarry with invaders. The legal system, which in America, for example, until quite recently, made interracial mixing a crime in every state where it was at all likely to occur, and which defined citizenship in racial terms. The culture of art and literature, which extolled the virtues and characteristics, aesthetic and psychological, which make us unique. And especially the racial patriots, outside and inside the government, who warned us to keep ever vigilant against any alien presence, alien infiltration, or alien control of our institutions and society, and who brought forth principles and philosophies to help protect future generations of our people by keeping our race pure. These, together with the military, who would be brought to bear if an invasion reached a critical level, constituted the immune system of our race and civilization. But that immune system has been disabled. It has been disabled by an invader which uses the same deadly technique as the human immunodeficiency virus, which kills the human immune system. It kills the immune system so that it may live off of our flesh and our blood without hindrance. And the reign of that parasite, which is marked by a horrible, painful decline and wasting away, which takes many years, ultimately results in an agonizing death. When the Jews enter a host society, they quickly organize themselves on many levels. They organize financially and set up arcane, hard-to-understand confidence games like fractional reserve banking in order to gain the wealth of the host without working. This is similar to the way HIV lives off the host cells in the human body. Without the host, it could not live. They organize to control the media so that the images that the host people see of the world around them through books, television, film, and the press are carefully selected and censored and spun by Jewish editors, writers, producers, directors, and owners. In this, they are even more insidious than HIV, which, so far as I know, has not yet evolved a method to interrupt the nerve connections that connect the eyes and ears to the brain and filter our perception of reality to help the virus. The Jews organize first and foremost, though, to destroy the immune system of the host society. This is where Jewish groups like the ADL and SPLC and their analogs in other white nations come in. They use their power of the press and their agents in the educational establishment to inculcate the idea that our inborn racial feelings, the first lines of defense in our immune system, are wrong or evil. They attack the inborn social behaviors that make us naturally favor our own kind and disfavor invaders, not only by teaching us that these defense behaviors are immoral and racist, but by using all the power and pressure and money at their disposal to, whenever possible, make us favoring our own kind actually illegal. Them favoring their own kind, however, is never illegal or immoral. It is virtuous and good. They use their power of the purse and power of media persuasion to control politicians and so alter our laws so that the invader is welcomed instead of repelled. In fact, those who do repel him now find themselves indicted and prosecuted under new laws that the Jewish power structure has created. They also use their control over our political leaders so that our military is seldom or never used against invaders or against those who are truly enemies of our nation and civilization, but is instead used almost exclusively against those whom the Jews consider enemies. Think Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Libya, et al. Ever more fantastic lies and false flag incidents are used to justify these wars for Jewish interests, and they continue for decades on end. Most of all, they organize to defame, insult, traduce, frame, imprison, and ruin the reputations and lives and ability to earn a living of all of those patriots who expose the parasitic infection and rally society to defend itself against it. The disabling of the immune system of our society and our civilization is the function of the Jewish power structure, in its service to the parasitic HIV-like entity which gave it birth. This is the most momentous and greatest battle between life forms ever to take place on Earth. It is happening today. It is happening before our eyes, and our very survival and the fate of life in the universe depends upon its outcome. Next week, I will discuss the application of Emery's rule to Jewish parasitism. This rule states that social parasites, and the Jews are social parasites par excellence, and we are a social species, tend to be parasites of species or genera to which they are closely related. You'll learn about that and much more next week on American Dissident Voices. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance. Remember to visit natall.com/music. That's natall.com/music for the 20th anniversary CD of the most powerful pro-white music ever produced, Dresden's Call of the Blood. You can get your copy of this amazing professional production and superb superb recruiting tool for only $16 postpaid. Write to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA, or visit natall.com/music to order online. The men and women of the National Alliance are looking for responsible, loyal white men and women to join us, to help us increase our capabilities, and for a select few to become part of our intentional white community in the beautiful Appalachian Mountains. Visit natall.com/join for further information. Once again, our postal address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you of the words of Richard Berkeley Cotton. Freedom is not free. Free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
Out to the skies, we will now have.